Look, we're not paying for zombie takeout.
We can get some tacos on the way, or we can get zombie takeout afterward. Welcome to episode 152 of Zombie Takeout,
Zombie Takeout.
The B Movie and Call Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a few things to take care of. First off, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Trailer Clash, trailerclash.com, the Movie Trailers Podcast. They've mentioned us in a few recent episodes, and so I just wanted to return the favor. They also mentioned in a recent episode a couple of movies we might want to take a look at.
Oh, great.
One that I'm really looking forward to, Knights of Badassdom. Been waiting for, like, a couple of years for that one. Peter Dinklage and Summer Glauber in it. Wow, can't wait. Another one I'm less eager to see. Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
It has to look better than the Hansel and Gretel that just was in the mainstream.
I don't know. I think that one, not saying that it was Witch Hunters or something like that.
Yeah.
Not saying that one looks good, but it looks better to me than, at least more fun than Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
Really?
Anyway, like I said, just wanted to give a shout out to Trailer Clash. Again, that's trailerclash.com. On to some listeners submitted. And speaking again of Trailer Clash, Roberto Suarez from Trailer Clash sent us a couple of charts in reference to this week's movie. One will be in the show notes. One is already on the Wikipedia page, which I always link to. But thanks, Roberto. Also, Matt Goranson commented on the trailer for this week's movie, saying that this webcomic was enough to get me to watch Primer, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate, too. And he gave us a link to the XKCD movie narrative charts, and it has Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, another movie that I'm blanking on right now, I'm not looking at it.
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
And Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, that's the one I forgot. And it just gets, you know, progressively less complicated. You know, Lord of the Rings is fairly complicated, Star Wars a little less. Jurassic Park a little less. 12 Angry Men, just straight lines. And then it gets to Primer. And if you've seen this movie, you will understand this. It has Aaron, Abe, and Granger as the starting points. And then a bunch of randomly intersecting squiggly lines. And they all end in question marks.
Yeah. Dotted lines and question marks.
Yeah. Which is a great summation of the film. Particularly if you've only seen it once.
Yeah. There's a whole thread on IMDb. Like, did anyone get this on their first viewing?
Yeah, once again, I will link to that as well in the show notes. I got it on my slightly more than second. I'll put it that way. I had to watch the last 15 minutes a third time to really put it all together.
I think I had a pretty, vague idea. I was on the right track after seeing it the first time.
Yeah, I had most of it.
But seeing the second time really helped.
But we should get to the impromptu plot summary before we get into
yes.
that. And I should say that this week's movie is from 2004, Primer, or as some pronounce it, Primer.
It all depends on the word, really, on what they're
meaning.
Referring to.
And of course, that brings us to the aforementioned impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Amoeba Devices. They're not just for JTAG cards anymore.
All right, so we begin with a complete misdirection, really, of the film. You have these four engineers.
It's not really a misdirection so much as backstory.
But if you pay too much attention to what's going on and the political struggle between, them and their company, which is what I did the first time, and it was such a big mistake that I wound up pretty much... the movie really just snuck up on me and it was just like, what? But no, you have these four engineers and they're using their free time to have a little side business, do some experiments in a garage, try to come up with the next big idea.
Well, they're not exactly doing that at first. They're making JTAG cards, which are used for debugging computers and storing firmware.
Well, yeah, it's their side business.
And then there's a little debate about their next project, because the JTAG cards aren't quite pulling in enough money.
Hold on. The company is ran sort of on a rotating basis. They have, and all of this is absolutely meaningless, so I'm not even sure why I'm explaining this, but the deal is that each person gets a turn to have their project done and brought to market, or attempt to market at least. And it was Abe and Aaron who had, their turns were there, and then the third guy came up, and I'm not even can't even remember the guy's name because you really don't see him much again after this.
They were Robert and Philip, were the other two guys.
Yeah, it's his turn, and he doesn't really have a whole lot going on, according to at least Abe and Aaron, that in the term of marketability or anything really ingenuitive or anything.
Well, the impression I got is he wanted to do something, and they don't really explain it, but I got the idea. It's very simple and conventional and marketable, but there's no big breakthrough in it.
And again, this is complete diversion from the actual plot. It actually has no bearing on this movie whatsoever, because what Abe has come up with is completely, I don't even know if he set out to make a time machine.
No. They were intending to make, or actually improve on a device that lowers the weight of an object. The existing design needed to be super cooled, and they wanted to come up with a way to do it at room temperature.
All right, so what they figured out is the item that was left in this had pretty much gone through up to months, maybe even years, I think, at some point of time. And then, of course, he kind of puts two and two together to make a larger one that they could go in. And it's all they're very cautious in the beginning, or so it seems. There's first that they're putting inanimate objects in, then they're putting their watches, then they get in there, and at least for Abe's first time, he did, goes to a hotel room, disconnects from everything, and just exists in this time new timeline or old timeline, depending on how you're looking at it, and decides to be a little showy to explain to his buddy what he has done. He brings him to the U-Haul place where he has built the time machine. After showing him enough evidence to for him to reach the same conclusion as to what the machine is, he brings him to this U-Haul center where he sees, of course, an Abe from another timeline returning to the U-Haul to go back into the machine. I could say hilarity ensues here, but there's a lot more. See, the catch is somewhere in one of the many timelines that get opened up, Aaron has been taking extra trips.
Initially, they're just using it to play the stock market, and they're
Right, they're
being
very
very
cautious.
safe.
That's it. Let's find some deals. Ah, the lottery's too much attention. We can make some great day trades. Companies that, go from 50 to 150% in one day, any sort of surge. Of course, after a while, that wasn't going to work because who knows if it was their own purchase of the stock that increased
Right.
the stock's value if you're buying shares, up. But anyway, it turns out Aaron has been taking many extra trips. The minimum you could see evidently would be three, but you have to suspect he's taken more.
He says at the end that he's taken more without Abe.
Of course.
The implication is that there were a lot.
A lot.
Because he's trying to change one particular event and keeps failing.
He has the entire dialogue of the time period that he keeps traveling through recorded, that he's listening to in an earpiece that, upon the second viewing, one of the initial scenes when Abe comes to explain to him what he's done, you see he is wearing the earpiece.
I noticed it the first time, but like you're supposed to, I assumed he was listening to March Madness.
And it was one of the, I think the second or third time that that same conversation happened is when Abe realized he was listening to the dialogue of their exact conversation.
Abe passes out, and Aaron later explains that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think hilarity ensues at that point.
Well, it gets messier even.
We don't want to give away too much of the ending.
Well, you don't really, you don't need to because, well, I mean, you get the idea of what's going on, but it gets messier when there's another person that neither one of them have told about this that they know of has traveled in time. And they're not even sure how many times he's traveled in time
Or how he found out about
or
the
how he
device
found
or
out
got
about
access to the boxes, yeah.
right.
Or why every time Abe gets near him, he slips into a coma.
Right.
And they don't explain any of this at all, which I love.
Right. And I think we could say hilarity ensues there because there are so many plot lines. I really we could really do an hour impromptu plot summary if we chase every timeline that we know of in this movie.
Yeah. It's actually much simpler than that, though.
No, it's not.
I was looking at a lot of charts in reference to the timeline
Yeah.
to put one in the show notes. And they all make it much more complicated than it needs to be. All of the other timelines are caused either Aaron going back on his own or with Abe at the end. Or there's a magic bullet, the cell phone.
The cell phone.
At one point, Aaron either accidentally or intentionally brings his cell phone to the hotel room. They're not supposed to have any connection to the outside world while they're there. And he then brings it into the box and it travels back with them.
Right.
As I interpreted it, this sent a ripple through the continuum. This was a variable and everything unraveled from there.
You think so? The cell phone did it.
It was a variable. It created a paradox, effectively, because it allowed someone to communicate with the two Aarons, and not at the same time. It varied which one got the call, and I think that was enough of a, like I said, a ripple in the continuum, to cause Granger showing up. They never explained why Granger showed up. It was a ripple in the continuum.
Well, really, where it starts is when he talks about going back to punch his boss.
That was the first indication. And granted, you don't need to understand what they're talking about in the beginning, in terms of the two projects.
Yeah.
But what it does beautifully, and what you do need to pay attention to, is the character explanation.
Yeah.
It sets up Abe and Aaron beautifully. Abe is very careful and very methodical in everything. Aaron is very reckless and much more interested in results than procedure. He's pulling out the catalytic converter in Abe's car to get some palladium.
Did
And
you notice what he was using to pull out that catalytic converter?
no, I didn't.
He used a saw.
Oh God, okay, that's wow.
I noticed that the second time around.
Nice. He's then they need some copper tubing, so he's going to cannibalize Abe's refrigerator.
Like, this isn't going to save us money. I have to buy a new refrigerator.
So yeah, it just tells you right there who the two characters are, which is important going on. The actual experiment is irrelevant.
Yeah. I really don't think it's still quite that simple. And you know why? Because and it's just the whole messiness of time travel. And really it almost proves the impossibility of time travel at all. Because especially if this theory is correct that you can just exist in the same timeline as yourself. You can create an army of yourselves.
Towards the end, there are three Aarons.
At least.
And according to, well, near as we can tell from what happens, all three continue to exist after the movie is over.
Right. And
One is narrating from off screen. We don't know what happened to him. Another is leading Aaron's normal life, and a third is building a room-sized box.
at least.
Well, actually, no, a building-sized box is what the plot summary said.
Right. It was gigantic. It was like in an air hangar that they were building it. was gonna be huge. He's probably gonna be able to take vehicles back with him.
I got confused because earlier they talked about building a room-sized box.
Yeah. And then, of course, once you have doubles there, duplicates of people, the duplicates are then traveling back and then becoming extra duplicates.
Possibly, or maybe
Oh,
it
very
was
much so.
Aaron doing it twice. We don't know if the doubles traveled twice.
Oh, they most definitely were. That's what I mean. Come on, why else would he be building a time machine? They were all doing it. He had a, and who knows what Abe was really doing? Because why he built an extra time machine, a failsafe machine, without telling Aaron?
Because he knew Aaron was kind of a hothead and he needed the ability to shut it down if need be.
But once Aaron figured out the second box existed, who knows how many times. And also, Abe was leaving the machine going for longer than need be, too.
In case he needed it at a moment's notice.
Right. I.
Which is
It's.
really when it starts to unravel, because that's when they really get sloppy. Abe is woken up in the middle of the night by a kid setting off a car alarm, and they go back in time to stop that from happening.
They try to.
They try to.
And that's when Granger. That was the point of the movie when I first watched it, was just, what? I mean, wait, Granger's back?
Same here. That was the first that when I saw it for the first time, Granger is where it lost me.
Right, like, wait a minute, how did Granger, and it took me a while to figure out that there's just so many people traveling.
And then the second time I was fine up until Abe exits the failsafe device and we find out about the multiple errands and
You
the
have to
recording.
assume that one of the duplicates in one of the timelines brought Granger in.
That's possible.
That's the only way it could have happened.
Yeah, but I think the point is there was a variable and that caused random things to happen that they didn't know about and we didn't know about.
That's another possibility too. I was thinking though
And maybe it happened through that. We don't know.
that was the official. This is now complete chaos,
Yeah.
that there are duplicates of themselves out there that they have no knowledge of what they're doing, and they're off doing their own thing separate of them. And then, of course, you get to the duplicates trying to kill other versions of
They
themselves.
never tried to kill each other. They drugged Aaron to take him out of the equation.
Yeah.
And they drugged him and locked him in the attic. And before he uses the failsafe, duplicate Abe drugged original Abe, or the Abe of that time, to keep him from going back again so he could use the failsafe device. None of them were actually killed. There was a fight between two alternate Aarons. But that didn't last long, and because one realized that the other had the same aims as him and just decided to disappear. See, the beauty of this movie, among many things, is the perspective. We're accustomed to either first-person perspective or third-person omniscient,
Right.
where either you know you're in one, you're seeing through one person's eyes and you know you're not seeing everything, or you're seeing everything. This is third person, but not omniscient. It feels like it follows Abe, but it doesn't. There are times when we don't see Abe. We don't find out about the failsafe until almost towards the end of the movie. So
Right.
it doesn't follow him faithfully. It certainly doesn't follow Aaron faithfully. So
And we
it's
don't
third
even
person.
know who Aaron, the narrator, is talking to, who he's called.
I assumed it was original Aaron.
It could be. It could be Abe. I mean, who knows?
And I mean original Aaron from before everything went down, which is why he was a step ahead of Abe the entire time.
The Aaron locked in the attic, Aaron.
No, before then.
Oh.
He went back to before the whole thing got started and called original Aaron and told him exactly what was going to happen so he could stay a step ahead.
I thought that was the Aaron that was locked in the closet.
No, that was the Aaron from the last time he left the device. Because original Aaron ceased to exist the first time he went into the box.
I see.
The chart on Wikipedia explains it beautifully. The one that gets into the box, his only reason for being is to get into that box. The duplicate steps out of the box and then continues their life. That original ceases to be when he gets into the box. So original Aaron was before he got into the box the first time.
Of course, another theory could be that this was all just a dream or just insanity.
That's a cop out to me. And there's really nothing in the movie to give that away.
If they're awake for 36 hours at a stretch,
Possibly. No, I
it would explain it would easily explain paranoia.
True, but it's unnecessary when the movie, if you watch it enough times, which in my case was two and change, in your case too,
Yeah.
makes sense on its own. Because this is the only time travel movie I have seen. Actually, it's the only time travel I've seen in fiction that doesn't have a plot hole.
The entire thing's a whole, but it's intentionally so.
It all works, except there's one tiny little issue at the end. Why didn't the two alternate Aarons know about each other? But the variable explains that.
I thought they did know about each other.
Well, they may have known about each other, but the original obviously didn't know about the first one to show up.
Right.
And the second one to show up, he said he wasn't expecting me to put up a fight. So there was a variable there. Neither of them was far enough ahead to know exactly what was going to happen, which could be seen as a little plot hole, or it could be seen as chaos getting to the point where he doesn't know what he's doing.
I think the one of the biggest questions of this, why the gunman thing?
Because they needed a reason for Aaron to go back in time repeatedly solo. They
Right.
needed to give him a mission, and that's why he started going back solo, was to stop this gunman who shows up at a party.
But it doesn't seem like anything actually happened with this gunman when he came to this party.
It was said that he never fired, even when Aaron wasn't there.
Right.
He never actually intended to kill anybody.
Right.
But it just gave Aaron a cause, a mission, a reason to continue going back in time and to become less and less stable.
Well, that's the
It
question.
was pure phlebotomy.
Why be obsessed with that one event? You know, it doesn't really make that probably made the
Because
least
that's the
sense of all of
character.
it.
They establish early on he's interested in the score. He decided to abandon the JPEG cards because no businesses were buying. At another point, he was, I forget exactly what, but there was something where he wasn't getting the glory that he thought that he wanted out of a situation. He wanted to be the hero. That was his whole motivating purpose, was
But
to
it doesn't
be the
even seem
hero.
like he was going to be a hero for this. It was he was kind of letting Abe come in to stop him.
No, he was the one who, in every case, even when Abe was there, rushed the gunman. He got the credit for it. In fact, in the scene when Robert and Philip show up in the garage,
Yeah.
and they're talking about the party, and that's when Abe realizes that Aaron has been making solo trips, they're talking about how he's considered this hero because he stopped this gunman.
Okay. And of course, that's why they came back one time and his ear was bleeding, I think.
I think that might have just been that, and the writing were just the effects of the time travel. It was just having a physical effect on them. They make a big point early on in saying that it can't be healthy.
Right.
So it's just having a physical effect on them. It's making them ill to a point where their ears are bleeding and they can't write, which is an
Well,
odd symptom, but it's interesting.
that would be suggestive of a dreamlike state, not being able to write.
Yeah, I don't think like I said, I think that the dream or the hallucination theory is a bit of a cop out. It's too easy. And particularly when you have a movie that is so particular about the science, Shane Carruth, the writer, director, et cetera, who played Aaron,
Yeah.
said that he absolutely was not willing to dumb down the science. He
No.
wanted it. He wanted absolute realism, and I don't think if it was supposed to be a dream, he would have done that.
Yeah. That is true. You wouldn't be able to have that kind of science in a dream.
And I think a part of the reason it gets so complicated is because if you tried to tell the story without that level of confusion, it would have taken an obnoxious amount of exposition. I mean, future Aaron, who's, the narrator, is already Basil Exposition.
Yeah.
And it would have been him just explaining for 2 hours if you tried to do this without that level of confusion, if you tried to make it more of a straight line.
Well, it's complicated because this theory of time travel is complicated. You know, that you can exist on the same plane. And it would lead to that kind of mess where, you know, maybe your other self from another timeline is going to say, well, fuck this. I don't want to go to that party. I want us to go and do this instead. And you have them acting independently. It's not just, you know, like a multiplicity thing.
It did kind of remind me of Multiplicity, I'll say. One of the titles I suggested was A Copy of a Copy. Now, just getting into some trivia. Like I said, written and directed by Shane Carruth, made for $7,000.
Oh, man.
Not only our most complex and confusing film, I think probably our cheapest so far.
Could be.
He was also the producer, cinematographer, editor, and music composer on the film. He has a degree in math and is a former engineer. So again, that's why all the focus on the science. And he had his friends and family playing most of the characters.
Oh, nice.
The actor who plays Abe has other credits, quite a few. But I think everybody else, it was really just this. And kind of shows in the acting in spots.
Yeah, but you only need Abe and Aaron to be good actors, and I think they pulled this off very
Oh,
well.
absolutely. Also, I was watching an interview with him just before we started recording, and I was looking for clips, and he said, and I don't quite understand what this means, but because Texas is a right-to-work state, I'm not sure exactly what that is.
That means they don't have to force you to join the union.
Okay. They were able to shoot the movie guerrilla style without being liable. As long as they were able to get in and get out without disturbing anything or damaging anything, charges couldn't be pressed.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
So it was shot almost entirely guerrilla style, obviously, except for the garage set, I would imagine.
I don't understand what that has to do with being a right to work state,
I
as
don't.
they so.
That's what he said, because Texas is a right to work state, they could shoot guerrilla style and not be liable.
I mean, it just meant he didn't have to have union, you know, people.
They didn't need permits, they didn't need union people.
But I don't see what union permits have to do with permits for filming, because usually that's a local
Yeah.
government issue.
I don't know, but that's what he said.
But I mean, it's not like Clerks had union people
That's true.
either.
Yeah, lots of
I
indie
mean,
films
come
have been.
on, dude.
Troma always shoots guerrilla style.
Of course.
Now, there was one thing that kind of confused me in the film.
One thing?
I mean, still confuses me, I should say. Because I think I understand it now. They say the box is single use only.
No.
That's the exact word. It's one-time use, I think, is the exact phrase. But this is after explaining that they can't shut it off after they get out because there's someone in there. I'm not quite sure what they meant because they do use it repeatedly. And later in the film, when they reveal that Aaron has brought back a box through the box, then they say it's not single use. So I never was quite clear on what single use meant. Maybe meaning it can't be used to go to the same box can't be used to go to two times. I don't know. That's the only thing like I said, there's one thing I'm not quite clear on, and I wouldn't exactly call it a plot hole. I think it was just questionable writing. That explanation could have been phrased better. And actually, you mentioned the punch in the nose that he wanted to give his boss. That's, I think, really the first sign that Aaron is going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's shown as being kind of impulsive before this, but they're posing the question of what would you do if you had unlimited resources? And Aaron says he would go back in time and punch his boss. And it's such a childish, vengeful thing to do if you have unlimited resources. Why do this? You already won.
Yeah.
It's kind of the first sign that he's going to be an issue. Also, I think the bleeding from the ears really should have been a sign that they should have stopped. Because that's an obvious sign that something is very, very wrong.
Don't do this anymore. But how many times had he been doing it at that point?
Yeah, that's true. It had sort of been established by that point, but not exactly that Aaron had been making the solo trips and how many was unknown.
And when did he start? When did we lose that original Aaron? Or did we lose him at all in the first place? I mean,
Again, it comes down to how you define original Eren. Are you talking about the Eren of?
Single timeline,
Okay.
Eren.
That's a good question. I think it was probably around the time he started going back to change the party, which was indicated in the garage by when Robert is talking to Abe. He says, "Thanks for the birthday present," and Abe kind of turns around in slow motion. It almost seemed like that's when the timeline changed.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
He says, "Thanks for the birthday present," and Abe says, "You're welcome," and it almost goes into slow motion for a second, and then Abe has the realization that Eren had gone back in time without him to change things.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different scene. All right. I was thinking when they were talking about needing funding or whatever, but like I said, if the earpiece is an indicator that he's listening, we could very well be seeing there could have never been a single timeline Eren in this film.
That's possible. He
That
could
it's
have been one
entirely
step ahead the
possible,
entire way, yeah.
right? Because, and you know why I'm so suspicious of the earpiece? Because when his friends see him with it when they're playing basketball, it's the first time they've noticed it.
That's true.
Because they're saying, what are you, in the Secret Service or something?
Yeah. Clearly he had been there recording it, that because he knew what was going to be said, but he wasn't wearing the earpiece.
Right.
So the first time we see him when Abe doesn't pass out,
Yeah.
that was original, as you're saying, original Eren.
It might not be.
Well, because he didn't have the ear. Well, clearly
He did.
he did when he talked to Abe, but it
Yeah.
wasn't until later, after Abe passed out, that it's explaining that he had the earpiece. So he had to have had that conversation once without it.
At least.
Now, granted, that one time could have been before that first time we saw that conversation.
Like that whole time where Abe is telling him about what he's discovered, Eren could have known full well what he's discovered already. And he's just playing along with it. And oh, really? You found this, huh? And because he's got the earpiece in him, on him, telling him exactly what to say. I mean, who knows how many times he's played this loop.
Yeah, true. This is a great quote from Shane Carruth about the point of the movie, which he says is really about the breakdown of the relationship and when that kind of power is introduced. He said, "First thing, I saw these guys as scientifically accomplished but ethically morons. They never had any reason before to have ethical questions, so when they're hit with this device, they're blindsided by it. First thing they do is make money with it. They're not talking about the ethics of altering your former self." So they are not prepared for the philosophical ramifications of the situation whatsoever, which explains why Eren immediately starts abusing it, and why Abe is probably a little bit afraid of it, and thus appropriately cautious.
Right. He plays by all the rules
And that's just his nature, which is that's established at the beginning.
and there's Eren. Who knows how many times he's done this. One thing about this movie itself, though, is the dialogue. It's very, I don't know, I struggled with which word to use, and I'll just say it's very
Interesting way to put
Mamet. I was trying to use Mamet with some sort of suffix like Mametian or
it.
Mametesque. No, it's just Mamet.
Mametastic. It doesn't explain anything to you. There is almost a pathological lack of exposition in the dialogue, except for the narration, which is all exposition.
Well, him and I believe a playwright was Carol Churchill. They also wrote just very natural
Oh,
dialogue.
yeah.
It wasn't one person takes a line, then another person takes a line. There are lines all running together and people talking at the same time, which makes it even more difficult to follow in the beginning, especially in the very beginning when all four of them are just talking at the same time.
But I love that it doesn't over-explain, it doesn't hold your hand. It's
Oh no.
you won't understand the movie unless you keep up with it. You have to work for it.
It is, 77 minutes, and that's it. And that's all it needed to be.
Oh yeah. Shane Carruth has said that they, if they had used all the footage they had shot, maybe it would have gone to 80 minutes.
So there's 3 minutes on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Well, that's the primary part of their budget was film stock.
Yeah. Most of it went to film stock.
Yeah, which is expensive as hell, by the way. It just, the film itself and the development of it.
And for most of it, the stock looked great. It got a little grainy in the night shots. Those looked really low budget.
Yeah.
Everything else looked fine. And it gave it an interesting look because it was obviously cheap. It was kind of yellowish, but it gave it a
Yeah.
very signature look.
It felt a hell of a lot more real than like the Blair Witch Project, which, I mean, the suspension of disbelief for that movie was just not there. Whereas this, they weren't doing the whole phony, see, we're talking to a video camera thing. It was just you're literally a fly on the wall for these conversations. And the fact that they could do so much with so little. I mean, there's really a single visual effect in this entire movie.
There's one.
And there's one.
When they first
When am I
get the
forgetting?
device working, the anti-grav device, or the weight reducing device, whatever it is,
Oh, right.
Abe dumps a bunch of pills into it, and you see
Now
them
the
floating.
I believe it was the holes from the hole puncher.
Oh, that's what it. That makes sense. Okay.
Yes, he took a 3-hole puncher tray full of little
Okay.
holes and put it on it, and
I
they
was
just let
wondering
it.
why they had these pills sitting around. That makes much more sense. But you see them floating for a second. That is literally the only effect in the movie.
Yeah, which of course you can like put on a fan or something. I mean,
Yeah,
something. I
probably what
mean,
they did.
yeah, there was nothing. I mean, that and Big Flood. That's
Oh,
about
yeah.
as high tech as this thing got.
I
And
don't really,
yet,
interesting, I don't really think of that as an effect, but it is.
it is light years beyond any of the mainstream sci-fi movies
Oh,
that
God,
have
yes.
been
This
out.
is a modern cult classic. I have known about this movie for years and
Yeah.
have heard either it's amazing and life-changing or it's absolute shit, depending on how much the person understood, I
If
think.
you're interested in time travel and exploring the different possible theories, it's definitely something you have to see.
And that leads me to the one more thing that I love about this movie. And if you can't tell my rating already.
Yeah, right.
They don't explain the time travel.
No.
And I know I said a few weeks ago that I hate the mystery box and I want the writer to explain everything and impress me. Time travel is the one exception because there is no phlebotomist that works on paper.
Well, you're right. If it worked on paper, then he would have made it
We
on it.
would have some semblance of an idea of how to travel back in time, but we don't. So
Right.
there's no actual working theories as far as I know. So they
Right.
just skipped it. They told you what it did, but never how it did it.
Right. And they don't use fucking crystals. So, I mean, there you go.
All right, I'm done with my notes.
Yes, save here.
No sequels or remakes. It's 2004, so obviously no remakes yet, and there is no room for a sequel.
Well, of course, they could do a sequel, of
Well,
course.
they could, yeah.
You know what? This could be the first movie where they do a sequel and a prequel in the same movie.
Interesting, yeah. But then it's just Evil Shane trying to build the building-size time machine and trying to take over the world. That's the sequel.
Yeah, there's something like that.
And Abe said he can't stop him.
No.
So there, I don't, where do you go with that without getting horribly cheesy?
Well, then you have another Aaron.
Oh, one of the other Aarons tries to stop him.
Yeah.
Original Aaron, or as what we're calling original Aaron.
We're an army of Aarons.
I'm not going to say that sounds good, but I kind of want to say it. So, okay, we have a possible sequel. And I don't think we'll ever see a remake because no one is going to be crazy enough to try to do this again.
No, anyway, I doubt we'd have a sequel either.
No. Like I said, that sounds like a lot of fun, but it would also be kind of blasphemous.
Yeah.
All right, so on to brains.
On to Brains, which is no surprises here, I think.
No. I well, okay, the first time I saw this movie, I kind of had the same opinion of it as I do of Black Rainbow, where I respect it but didn't necessarily like it. Seeing it a couple more times, I'm kind of falling in love with it. It is the most intelligent science fiction film I've ever seen. It either has no plot holes or it is one big plot hole. I prefer to see it as it has no plot holes. Everything is mopped up carefully. It is a work of genius. I gotta go five.
You could say that it's intentionally a plot hole, though, because you could say it's debunking time travel.
Interesting. Okay.
It could be, the whole point of this is
This
that,
the time travel only leads to chaos.
right, this can't happen. It's impossible for it to happen. Not just, the physics of it all, but just that if it did happen, you'd have an asshole worse than Aaron, who would fuck things up more
Yeah.
and pretty much end the universe as we know it. So yeah, I'm giving it five, of course, because I mean, holy shit. I mean, I had a hell of a time cleaning up pieces of my brain off the
Right.
floor after
Yeah.
watching this, and which was pretty much the same feeling as Beyond the Black Rainbow, but that was a
In a
much more
different way, yeah.
emotional, that was a much more creepy ass emotional film that you just didn't see it coming, really. And this, of course, I had to figure out if I had the right movie because it's just a bunch of guys sitting around a table at first. So I'm
Yeah,
like, wait a
I
minute,
was kind of
what?
thinking that too the first time I saw it.
So I like had to look. I had to glance at the IMDb. I really like going into a film as blindly as possible and just having the film speak for itself. And thank God I did with this. And yeah, it's totally worth the ride if you remotely like time travel movies. This one has to be seen.
Yeah.
It's so much better than the whole, like, well, though you're telling me that the Paradox could be in on this too, but just not in the way that Fringe used it,
No.
or Doctor Who used the same damn theory too, where it goes back to the point of the Paradox and erases it.
No.
This
Nothing goes back. And
right.
that's what I love. This is also why I love, and I'm in the minority, Terminator Rise of the Machines, because Judgment Day happened.
Okay.
They couldn't stop Judgment Day. I love that
Right.
about that movie. Because so many other movies change time and they never do it completely. We've discussed the Fringe finale, where it only goes back to the invasion.
And I just, in my watching of Doctor Who episodes from past recently, they used the same thing too. When the Master came back,
Right, yes.
and they went back to the point of the Paradox.
But, in Fringe, where it only changes the invasion on when, if you really think about what that universe and everything that's happened in the 5 years of that show, it would have gone back to the point where Walter crossed over.
Yeah.
None of that would have happened.
True.
But this one, it's like Rise of the Machines in that respect. It is thorough. It accounts for everything.
It's telling you that time travel, and I guess this could be my what did I learn? Time
Let's
travel
just move on to what have I learned.
is like plastic surgery. The more you fuck around with it, the worse it gets.
And along similar lines, I learned that you just don't fuck with the time-space continuum.
Yeah.
Nothing good can happen. All right, so until next week, when we will be reviewing Lunopolis, a little less complicated than this one. Actually, considerably less complicated.
Is it possible to get more complicated than this,
I
honestly?
don't think so.
For 67 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, they
77.
packed. You going back to the XKCD cartoon, he's using the graph for Lord of the Rings and the Star Wars trilogies.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that. It is trilogy.
He's not even just doing the movie. He's comparing the entire trilogy to this 167-minute movie.
Yeah, I saw Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and just assumed Fellowship and New Hope, but you're right, it was the entire trilogy.
It is New Hope to Jedi, the original
Yeah.
trilogy, and it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy, all
And
three.
they're less complicated than this.
Less complicated. And I bet it's the entire Jurassic Park series. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting there are more than one. Then again, I've only seen
Yeah.
the one.
But this 167-minute movie has all this shit packed right into it, and I could watch it like another 10 times and probably still pick up more stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I will be watching it more regularly.
Yeah, just to like try to pick out where the details.
Just to make sure I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're planning to review. The next few, I think we have two trilogy, this trilogy and another trilogy coming up. Those are in order. The request form, if you have a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on there. We'll get to it eventually. We actually should be getting to a request sometime soon after
I
these
think
trilogies.
we will, yeah.
And of course, the recommendations list, obviously, this one is going right on there. You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Till then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Come on, let's go get a drink or something.
Give us a link to the XKCD movie narrative charts, and it has Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, or
Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings, Star Wars,